Lord, right now, just bless this time we have together in the Word. Yes. To share this message, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just touch our hearts for whatever it needs, Lord. You know exactly what we need, when we need it, where we need it, how we need it. You know in advance all these things, Father. You're outside of time. And I pray right now, in time, right now, Father, that your anointing would be here. And that, Father, we would be able to receive from you, Father, for this day, this special day, Father, that we get to meet outdoors in this sanctuary. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I've entitled this, Welcoming the Storms of Life. Welcoming the Storms of Life. Is adversity getting the best of you? It's a question I had to ask myself. Is adversity getting the best of me? Is it serving to beat you down, or is it serving to make you stronger? I'm talking about any type of adversity, any type of storm. Are you stronger after this week, or has it beaten you down? Luke chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? If then you can't do a very little thing like this, why are you anxious about other matters? Pretty sobering. So let's read between the lines. Nothing you encounter escapes God's notice. Nothing. Every storm that comes your way contains God's grace and God's mercy. But they are often hidden behind the clouds of human reason and our own wisdom. What often may seem perplexing to you can easily be solved with God's wisdom. We struggle, and we're trying to figure out all the answers, and God's going, just give it to me. I faced that. I know that I did. I don't know about the rest of you. Our problem is that we see our difficulties with earthly eyes instead of spiritual ones. We go straight to the natural eye instead of to God's thoughts. He may send us in a totally different direction than we would normally go. God will deliberately set obstacles in your path to test and develop your spiritual strength. I can bear witness to that. Obstacles will come in your life to get you to go in the right direction. If God simply sent favorable winds your way, you would be at ease. We know who else would be at ease. Remember Job? He was at ease. And would you soon grow soft and dull? Soft winds coming your way all the time will just produce softness again and dullness. God does not want that. He's trying to make you stronger during these times. Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49, verse 31. Arise, go up against a nation which is at ease. That will preach. Go up against a nation which is at ease, which lives securely, declares the Lord. It has no gates or bars. That'll preach with open borders. You even see that. They dwell alone, and their camels will become plunder, and the multitude of their cattle for booty. And I shall scatter to all the winds those who cut the corners of their hair. I shall bring their disaster from every side, declares the Lord. Wow. Being at ease with open borders can very easily bring destruction. We need to be praying for our country. I didn't even see that till now. But this is very applicable to the times in which we live right now. A nation at ease is vulnerable to attack. Adversity, as a training tool, prepares us for battle. Folks, it is when the wind is high and the waves are threatening that we are called, again, we are called upon to become extremely alert and keen to the voice of God so that He can strengthen our spirit, man. Adversity gets our immediate attention. Would you agree? When God wants to get our attention, adversity is a tool that He will use to get it immediately. Mark chapter 4, verse 37 to 40. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. And he himself, that's Jesus, was in the stern, asleep, on a cushion. On a cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I think sometimes we forget that Jesus is in charge of the wind and the sea and the rain and everything that we face in life. Even the disciples in the boat were faced with great winds and great tumult and great water everywhere, just as we have been. Did we look to Jesus the same way that they did? "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Wake up the Master." Well, how do we wake him up? We pray. We pray. Let's not forget to pray the moment adversity strikes as our first response. If you want to be a first responder, pray. Because that's for the real first responders. Because that'll get us out of trouble the fastest. Do not fear the storms of life, folks. Have faith that God is still in control.
Yes.
Welcome the storms as an opportunity to respond in a godly manner, thereby exercising your faith.
Yes.
When we respond ungodly, faith goes down the tubes. When we respond godly, we increase our most holy faith. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. "Consider it all joy." He didn't say, "Be happy. Don't worry, be happy." He said, "No. Consider it joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, that the testing of your faith..." So now, knowing that this tests our faith, right? That's what he says. When you encounter a trial, you are being tested in your faith. "And that time of testing will produce endurance," says God. "And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So these trials that produce perfection in us as we go through them will produce absolutely no lack. We'll be perfectly complete. It's hard to think of it that way, but that's what God says, so we believe it.
That what chapter?
That is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Now I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3. "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance." So how are we going to persevere and how are we going to endure? We have to exercise faith. We have to pray. We have to be first responders. We have to comfort those who need to be comforted. We have to do what we can in the natural, obviously, to meet needs and such like that. But the greatest need we can meet is their spiritual need. In the physical, God says if we meet the spiritual need, the physical needs will what? Take care of themselves. If God can multiply the bread and the loaves, the fishes, right? And do something as miraculous as that when the people were in need, how will we even know if he can do the same for us if we don't initiate it? Through prayer, and through praying to the Father as Jesus did. And he held up the bread, and it was multiplied. If we're all praying, those prayers reach, the Spirit knows no difference, distance. Many people that have bread trucks, it's a little different than the old times, right? Today we have bread trucks, and it distributes bread throughout the world. And I believe that those are enhanced when we pray. We have to have our spiritual act together. So naturally speaking, stress and strain, again, upon muscle causes physical growth. Spiritually speaking, some of the clearest revelations of God come with adversity. Again, use high winds in your life not to assail you, but to sail you. Amen? Head right into them. Head right into the winds. Again, right into them with joy, knowing God is in control, rather than always, again, allowing them to cause you to fear. We're going to go to Matthew, and I'm going to go to chapter 14, and verses 28 to 32. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. What are we expecting? Right? Are we going to sink? Or are we going to swim? And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But he took his eyes off of him. And seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. Notice it was when they got into the boat that the wind stopped, not when they were out in the water. What did the disciples see as they intently looked out across the raging waters surrounding them? Was it not Jesus coming to them? And then he quiets the storm. Would it not be worth experiencing a terrible storm to catch a glimpse of Jesus? It's a whole different way of looking at things. If there needs to be a terrible storm where Jesus says, come. If that's what it takes, is these storms for America to come, then so be it. Because that is the ultimate of what we want and what we desire in our own lives, is to experience Jesus, to tell him to hold his hand up, come. And we come in prayer, and we come in faith, and we come believing, and then we speak what Jesus speaks, and we declare it like God created with the words of his mouth, the world. We will set our situation with the words of our own mouth. We're created in the image of God. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego see? Remember them? What did they see amidst the fiery, the literal fiery circumstances that they were in? Remember? Who did they see? The fourth man in the fire. You probably heard that song. The fourth man. I'm not going to go for sake of time, but in Daniel you can read it. They were bound with cords. They were put into a fiery furnace that was heated up, I don't know, was it 100 times more?
Seven
times hotter than it normally would be needed, just to make sure that they would die quickly. And it says that what? Nebuchadnezzar saw them. And those cords that were around them were the only things that burned off. And he saw a fourth man in the fire. But it was more than a man. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. Folks, you're never alone in your circumstances, no matter how bad they may seem. Whatever fires you're going through, Jesus said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verses 5 and 6. From my distress I called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Because the Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man possibly do to me? These are the words of the Lord. The Lord's own words. Never will I leave you or forsake you. Whatever chaos may come into your life, God has a plan that is working for good. If you have Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can take it to the bank that in the end result, God has a plan for your good. Romans 8:28 says what?
All things
work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. You have an innumerable company of spectators cheering you on in life from heaven, encouraging you and letting you know that your struggles won't last. They didn't for them. What's the worst case scenario? You take your last breath and we're with God. You have and will have the victory. Do you hear what I said? You have and you will have the victory. Hebrews 12, I'm going to save a little time here. Hebrews 12, 1 to 11. Well, no, let's read it. It's too good. Hebrews 12, 1 to 11. My Bible is falling apart and it's not letting me get there. Hebrews 12, and let's read it, 1 through 11. Therefore, since we do have a greater cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance, every sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured. He went to the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Everything that he went through, he wound up at the right hand of the Father. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons and daughters, I might add. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much again rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But God disciplines us for our good,
yes,
that we may share his holiness.
Yes.
All discipline for the moment will seem not to be joyful, but it is sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It gets our attention and right behavior results when we allow God to discipline us. Folks, adversity and difficulties drive us to God. It's when we are weak and dependent that God demonstrates his power and sufficiency. I'm going to say it again. When we're weak and dependent, God demonstrates his power and his sufficiency. Mm. 2 Corinthians 12. Verses 9 and 10. And he said to me, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses then, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, all for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, that's when I am the strongest. Allow these trials, tribulations, and adversities, and sufferings to strengthen you. You can allow it to defeat you or strengthen you. And remember, it's your spirit man that gets strengthened. And from your spirit man, it'll work its way out to your hands and your feet. When we become aware of our desperate need for God, his grace will make itself known. It keeps us humble, and it keeps us dependent on him. 1 Peter 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6.
Humble yourselves.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. That's key. Right away, we think if we humble ourselves before the Lord, our answers are going to come right away. Everything's going to be just laid out on a platter right before us. At the proper time, God will exalt you. He's sovereign. He knows the best time to lift you up. Never early, never late. Always on time. If God were to remove all adversity from us, we would get caught up in the pride of self-sufficiency. We were created to glorify Him. I'll say that again. Our purpose for being created was to glorify God. And we glorify Him through trials and tribulations and adversity, because if it's just good times, even evildoers will rejoice in good times. What separates us from the rest of the world is how we handle adversity.
Yes.
Jesus was our supreme example. The disciples followed. The early church followed after that. We've been living in luxury in the United States for so long. I believe God is now getting ready His people that live here in the United States for a time of getting stronger. As it said, the world we know is going down. The Bible says it will. But the church at the same time is going up. And we should be getting stronger before we arrive in the arms of Jesus. He should be coming back for a church that's mighty and strong and glorious and pressing through and defeating the enemy and stomping on the devil and having joy and going through all of the things that Jesus told us we can have during the midst of the storm if we'll just believe and receive and have the faith for it. These can be the greatest times for us as Christians. Stand back and let God be God. Stand back and let God be God. Problem is, we're rushing through to get it done ourselves. I did, first part of the week. We got to sometimes just stand back and say, okay, God, you're God. And the only way we're getting through this is by your instruction and your wisdom. Trust Him that He'll give it to you. He will provide. But we have to allow Him to provide. Once you accept your limitations, listen. Once you accept your limitations, God will use your dependence on Him to shame the things of the world, which think they are strong. I'm going to say that again. When we stand back and we accept our limitations and we call on God and we depend on Him, He will shame those things that think that they're strong. We think that our government is strong and will take care of us. We think that insurance companies are strong and they will take care of us. We think that those who exhibit the test of all the things in this world are the ones that are going to come to our rescue, whether it's the police or the firefighters and all these other things. And yes, praise God that we have those who humble themselves and they're in service unto God. But God is ready to shame all of those who in their own strength think that they can do a better job than He can. But we just got to let Him. Let go and
let God.
Let go and let God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and verse through 29. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen. The things that are not, that He might nullify the things that are. Faith is those things that we cannot see. Right? Mm-hmm. Not the things that we physically can tangibly touch right now. But it's trusting in the God who said He will provide, and He's going to bring forth those things we can yet not see. That no man should boast before God. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. So if you haven't figured it out yet by now, adversity, trials, tribulations, and hardships come to those fighting in a war. It just comes because we're in a spiritual war. It's in our case a spiritual war. Good soldiers use adversity as a training tool to prepare for war. So I say to all of us, let's prepare for war. So whether it comes from God to train us, or it comes from the enemy to derail us. God's not here to derail us. God's here to train us as a father. We already read that. The devil's coming to try to destroy you. So there's going to be times when adversity comes and it's going to be from the enemy, and there's going to be times when testing comes and it's going to be from God. And we use it for His purposes. God will ultimately use it for good to fulfill His kingdom purposes. Those things that He comes with for us to get stronger with, and He'll even use what the devil meant for evil for our good. He can do that. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're almost done here. A few more scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Who's writing?
Paul.
And then he says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. Good soldiers are going to have hardship because they're in a war. And war brings adversity. And we're in a spiritual war. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, Paul, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Wow. Suffering for the gospel according to the devil? No. According to the power of God. God will give us the strength and the power necessary to work through hardship and suffering and all the things that Jesus went through and the disciples in the early church, and we're not going to be able to skip that. We're not so good that we're going to skip all of this. This is New Covenant teaching. To think that we're just going to have apple and pie and Chevrolet and everything else in the sky while we're living our life here on earth would be against Scripture. Jesus warns us, Paul warns us. We're in a spiritual fight. We're going to have hardship, trial, tribulation, and testing, but we win. It's already been on the cross. It's done. It's won. The things that we suffer for His sake, we count it all joy. We're not happy about it, but we count it joy because Jesus did it first, and we know it's awaiting us. Folks, in the eternal scheme of things, and I'm saying eternal scheme of things, anything we go through in this lifetime, whether it be suffering or trials or tribulation, it's but for a moment. In eternity, our lives are a speck. Not even. It's for a moment. 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us that. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. What we're going through now is it doesn't matter. God's prepared an eternal home for us in glory. I think that we can do our part here to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. And if it means that there are things that come our way that we have to walk through, just like those disciples did, persecution from the world, from our own country, I think that we can manage that, since we know that we're just here in a moment and in His presence in a moment. Amen? The final reward for our adversity, suffering, and endurance is an abundant, overflowing, eternal blessing. Blessings. James 5:11. James 5:11. Behold, we count those blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And the last scripture today is Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Wow. I think this eternal reward far exceeds any adversity we may face in this life. We must have faith and learn to praise him in the storm. Amen. Brad, if you have a closing song for us. Father, I pray blessings on each one here today. That, Father, whatever's going to happen this week, next week, and the weeks to come, that, Father, we gain strength from our spirit, man, and that, Father, you will provide and meet every need that's in this room, Father, through what you can do, Father, through the strength that you have in and through people and sovereignly from heaven. We love you. We thank you. I thank you for those that are here with us today. I pray that they'll be a blessing to others as we leave this place today in Jesus' name.
Amen.